I am thrilled you joined us today at A View Beyond the Ordinary. I'm Jolene Lenz, your host, and this is where we explore those divine encounters, meet some courageous souls who share their stories with the goal of helping us pursue our own bliss or dream. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and listen through Spotify, Apple iTunes, or one of your favorite podcast apps. And let's get started and tune in. Today's guest, everybody, is Bailey Parnell, and Bailey is the founder and CEO of SkillsCount. It's a soft skills training company and was named one of Canada's top 100 most powerful women. One of Canada's top 100 most powerful women. Bailey is a TEDx speaker with over 3 million views, an award-winning digital marketer, and a businesswoman with a talent for helping people develop the skills they need for success. Her work and expertise have been featured in Forbes, CBC, Fox, Flair Magazine, and more. Bailey did her master's in communication and culture at Ryerson University with research looking into social media's impact on mental health, the results of which she presented at the World Youth Forum in Egypt and turned into her signature 5 steps towards safe social. So Bailey, welcome to this podcast of You Beyond the Ordinary. And I have to tell you, I listened to your TED Talk. It inspired me to reach out to you, and especially with the platform being of You Beyond the Ordinary, with a mission that we have to elevate and to empower all of us to really be able to follow our bliss and our dreams. I would love to learn more from you with what you've uncovered, specifically both in social media and then why you started your business, Safe Social. So let's start there.
Yeah, well, first off, thanks for having me. And I'm glad that you reached out and that the TED Talk moved you enough to want to have this conversation. And I suppose that means that it worked because it's about spreading awareness. So for me, I actually started studying social media's impact on mental health around 2015. So if you can remember back to 2015, this is around the time of social media when Twitter was still very popular. Instagram was kind of popping off, and we didn't even have sort of TikTok. Snapchat wasn't really popular yet, but it was around that time. And before my role now, because now I'm an entrepreneur, but before that, I worked at Ryerson University in student affairs, which is kind of everything outside the classroom that supports student success. And half of my role there was responsible for storytelling, social marketing, and using these social media tools to engage our students in their learning in and outside of the classroom, especially because Ryerson was 96% commuter school. So it was the idea of how can we engage our students when they're not here. And so while I was there, we actually did work on models for digital student engagement that we then shared all over the world. But the TED Talk starts with this story where a few things were happening at the same time. On one side of things, I was starting to see articles come out saying that social media is affecting teens poorly and social media causes depression and all this sort. And of course, the headlines are very scandalized, but I'm there thinking, well, I'm the person asking young people to come be on social media. And I'm actually requiring it sometimes. So part of me is like, well, if I'm going to be asking them to come do this, it's also my responsibility to make sure that they can do it safely. And I also, and this is what the story of the TED Talk starts with, is I also felt the mindlessness of social media at some points where I myself was what I would now call experiencing signs of addiction. And I just, you know, I wouldn't even be conscious. And I'd be like, go to grab my phone and it wasn't there. Or I'd go to like take a photo of something and I'd have to kind of like remember to put it away or that it wasn't with me right now. So both of those things happened at the same time, which led me to the very first mental health week. I remember, I think it was like 2015, where I thought, well, I guess I actually started this much earlier then, because that mental health week must have been 2013. All that's to say, they said, hey, you're the social media person. Can you talk about how this relates to mental health? Wow. And I said, yeah, I've actually been thinking about this. So it started there. It started with my own self-guided interest in this area. And also, like, I felt duty because I worked in an educational institution. So then I started teaching about it, just maybe one presentation at a time within the institute, like within Ryerson University. And then maybe a prof would hear about it and say, you know, I teach a social media class. Can you come guest lecture this class and teach about this connection too? And then it really just snowballed. I started my master's research in 2016 and TED Talk came out in 2017. But that's the funny thing is the TED Talk and all that's presented within is actually mostly based on professional research. I feel like, well, I mean, I guess I had started my academics too, but I feel like I could do a whole other one these days. So everything is just snowballed. And then finally in the pandemic, I was able to get those first few months, which is exactly what I needed to put together Safe Social, the organization. So now hashtag Safe Social is a nonprofit where we do the same work I have been doing, but on a grander scale, building awareness about the connection here and how people can get the benefits of social media with less risk.
Great. So what a story too, Bailey, that it started all the way back then from your own experience. And when I watched the TED Talk, I learned so much from you in terms of social media and the data. And what I found is we spend over 2 hours, I think it's 2 hours and like 20 minutes a day on social media. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you now have this nonprofit organization and you build awareness, can you share with the listeners a little bit about what that looks like and what it means to work with you?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So the funny thing is that 2 hours a day was back in 2017. When I left Ryerson in 2018, I remember we had conducted research where we had asked over 1,000 students, so young adults typically between about 17 to 25. We asked them how much time are you spending on social media? And the majority reported upwards of 6 hours. So if they're self-reporting 6 hours, and this is a be kind of a stigmatized behavior, it's probably like 8 to 9 hours. And it's actually wild. I don't do anything, as I say in the talk, you know, I don't do anything for that long. I don't for 8 hours a day. I don't sleep that long. I don't eat. I don't commute, like nothing. So I'll say that Safe Social, the organization, that is a collection of myself and a few people that work with me. And then also we have an entire ambassador program as well. We started that fairly early. So that you can still work with me in terms of bringing me in to speak or getting us to come in and do workshops for schools, or we've actually done companies as well, and then, or myself as a keynote. But then we also have an entire section for parents. So if there's parents listening here, and I'm sure there are, there's really helpful resources there about things like how to have the talk about social media, like how to approach this conversation, whether they're 9 years old or whether they're 17 years old, things to keep in mind. And you can just download that. There's 12 strategies for practicing safe social yourself. There's the 5 steps of safe social on there as well. So how you can move through each step. There's also a giant section there for educators. You could say parents are educators too, but right. There is also, you know, lesson plans for teachers, posters for the walls, all this kind of stuff that would help facilitate learning in some interesting way. And then the ambassador program, which is, if anyone listening is really into this stuff and really passionate about helping particularly young people, but it is everyone, understand the connection between social media and mental health, and then how to get those benefits with less of the risk. If you are into this message, then our ambassador program, we recruit twice a year, fall and spring, and we just bring folks in a more structured, formal way, as opposed to say like what we're doing right now. They're actually working with us, they're getting resources from us, and then they're spreading the message out in their community. And that often is social media. That's often them sharing it on their social media, or some of them are teachers, so they take our lesson plans and teach it in class and whatnot. So it's kind of got a lot going on there, I guess, when I describe it like this.
Well, to have that incredible resource that you, it sounds like, I mean, working with the education system, like you said, parents, a number of hours that kids are spending on it, that's huge. I got goosebumps mm-hmm. when you said that. And with the anxiety and depression And at an all-time high, Bailey, to have resources out there. Yes, I wasn't even aware that you did this. So I'm so happy to bring this, you know, awareness to the audience, because there has to be other ways to help kids, you know, get in the minefield of social media, especially Facebook and some of the ones platforms that I think can be really damaging.
Yes, I hope that, I mean, the TED Talk is working, of course, and that there's a ton of views, and the whole point of TED is ideas worth spreading. And the whole point of my talk is to build awareness about this subject. So in that way that it's working. But I felt after the talk came out and I started getting invited to speak around the world, I would always get the same sort of interactions after. It would be, you know, parents or someone coming up saying, okay, this hour was great. But do you have anything else? Do you have something I could read or a course I can take? Or I just want to know more about this. Like, we even have a glossary of social media terms there for parents. And so that's kind of where I always felt, oh, you should be able to get that from me. You know, of course, like you shouldn't need me in front of you to know all that I know about this topic and about how to parent or teach your kids about it. So that was the main motivation, I'd say, for starting Safe Social, the nonprofit, because it's ready. It's readily available and out there. And I'm sure we'll figure out soon how to get it in front of people's faces more.
Well, the fact that you're spreading this, and you did it first in a TED Talk, just the one of the questions I always ask whenever we follow our inner calling, and you felt obviously called to do this, how did you end up? Was there any synchronicities that led you to becoming, I guess, becoming a guest on TED that felt like, wow, you met the right person at the right time? Any strange coincidences that happened to you like that?
There actually is an interesting story about that TED Talk, because I actually did that talk at a smaller TEDx event before I did TEDx Ryerson. And, So maybe there's some fate here, but also maybe there's a little bit of gusto on my side. And what happened was, someone that I knew, a friend who I had had over the years at Ryerson, even before I was even doing the social marketing at Ryerson, I had met this friend. And he went his direction and I went my direction. And eventually I got into social marketing, and he was in event planning, and he was an advisor to the team who was planning TEDx Ryerson. The first one though was TEDx Ryerson U Women. So that one was just a small side event of three women. And I have to say, I was pretty strategic about it. I did want to do the main event. And so I just decided that this was going to be my audition. And the couple other people that went there, I have to say, did not take it this way. Whereas I saw my talk as, this is going to have 3 million views on YouTube, this is just the audition, I think they saw it more as like good ideas, but I think the structure of the talk was more for that small room, if that makes sense. Whereas I went in thinking this is going to be for the world. Like, I actually thought this ahead of time. So then when that event happened afterwards, I reached out to the organizers and said, I want to do TEDx Ryerson. And mine was by far the highest rated talk. So it was like, it became a little bit easier of a sell. And so then that happened, TEDx Ryerson U. Yeah. That's how that happened. So I guess I did have a relationship that ended up being useful later. And then I also definitely advocated for myself.
Well, and you know, it took courage to do that. And that's one of the things I really talk about, is in order for us to follow our heart, we have to have courage. And then consciousness in terms of social media. I know Safe Social, I believe divinely that the world needs to hear more of the message that you're promoting right now, because social media, well, it has some incredibly great benefits. Also, we have to really be careful and educate ourselves and realize about, you know, learn about dopamine and cortisol and how that impacts us and why we're so drawn to wanting to spend 4 to 5 to 6 hours. So if you were giving advice from what you've learned, and by the way, congrats, you know, getting back on you making it and envisioning what you intended. You did a great job in doing that. So I want
to say that. I like to manifest.
Yes, you did an incredible job. You envisioned it, you stood in your truth, and you went for it. So in terms of what you learned in the research, for those that maybe haven't heard your TED Talk, and I will make sure I share the link so those listeners can find you, but you know, what was the main surprise or the lesson you learned that you would impart with parents and people?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I have my 5 steps towards safe social. So there's 5 main areas, but if I was to distill it down and say, you know, what was the most important thing I walked out of with my research, it would be that the absolute most important skills are the offline skills. And that seems totally like it would be the opposite, considering we're talking about social media. I think people want to jump to social media savvy or digital literacy as the most important skills, but not when we are talking about its connection to mental health. In fact, when I first went into my research, I thought there would be a more explicit correlation between simply time on social media and rising levels of anxiety and depression. But what I actually found was, at the time, there was no consistency in the research. And some people said, yes, there is a problem. Some people said, there's no statistical relevancy here. And some people said that the exact opposite, that social media improved the mental health of their participants. And I had, there's a whole section of my thesis on this about all the research that said that. So I had, you know, looking at all that was out there, what I found to be consistent was that when there was a mediating variable or something in the middle, which is like, well, in that time, I compare myself more, or in that time, I feel envy more or frustration or anger more, then it was always a bad situation. And so what that told me was that it was actually more to do with the offline emotions. And particularly it was called, or technically called, offline affect, or how you feel about yourself and how you feel in general at time of use would be the biggest indicator and biggest moderator of one, do you have a bad situation? And two, to what degree? Like, how much does that hit you? So step 3 in my 5 steps towards safe social is to build the offline soft skills, to build skills like confidence first, to build skills like self-awareness. Like, do you even know what stresses you out? Well, if you haven't thought about this, how can you design a feed that doesn't stress you out?
Right.
So it seems obvious when we say it like this, for parents listening, you will know. And if you have more than one kid, you'll especially know. You're going to have a 13-year-old sometimes. They honestly got it together. Like, they're pretty secure. They have a nice, decent set of friends. They don't really worry about this stuff. And social media probably doesn't shake them that much. And then you may have your other kid right beside them, and you know, this is going to mess you up. Nope, you're not confident enough yet. And so it sucks when you hear that as a parent, because it's almost just easier to say like, oh, 14, then that's the age and that's what we're going to go with. But really, you have to know your kid. And if, when I do have kids, what I'm going to try and practice is, you know, knowing them and thinking, will you be able to handle seeing trauma on social media? Will you be able to handle cyberbullying? Almost like, I think, you know, parents would do this even with drinking or drugs or sex or anything like that. Like, let me prepare you for worst case scenario. And then let's work to make sure that doesn't happen at the same time.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess it's, you know, just if you think about all of the risks on social media, have I prepped my kid or my students to be able to handle those risks on one side? And then can I also simultaneously teach them digital wellness strategies, or what we call safe social strategies, to improve that space, like clearing up your feeds, like, you know, adding or following people that serve you in some way that actually like make you laugh or inspire you, or learning, teaching a kid even just how to block certain language. Like, you can block comments with a certain word and never see them again. So these are kind of the 2 simultaneous things that happen: teach about the risks, and then mitigate and sort of edit your use so you can get the benefits.
Wow. Well, to have a social media strategy, and just to have the opportunity to educate kids and for all of us, even adults, you know, at times becoming more mindful, and what you just said, and really sitting back and evaluating, maybe right now I'm going through a difficult time. Mm-hmm. Social media isn't the place to interact, or mm-hmm. I'm feeling anxious about everything, and just knowing when you need to take a break from from it. Right. And what you just said, soft skills and relationship building. I bet mm-hmm. you talk a mm-hmm. lot about that in the classes you do, because relationships, mm-hmm. I found as a recruiter, you know, being a former recruiter through all the years, not everybody, we're all so different. As you mentioned, one individual can mm-hmm. easily communicate where one person may have a difficult time expressing their emotions and, mm-hmm. and what sure. they're trying to say. So offering classes to build a base. Wow. Great idea, Bailey. And I'm glad that we started an organization. So how Thank old you. Is your company?
Oh, well, so Safe Social, actually, even though I've been doing this work for years, the pandemic was when I got those first 3 months to actually mm-hmm. just be what I needed, which was like to be in a room. My other business took about a 5 month, like a break. I suppose that's a topic for another. We're good. We're more than good now though, listeners, don't worry. But there was the pandemic fear months of like,
right.
So I got those, so officially launched in June, I think, of 2020, because I had 3 months in a room with no other business to worry about.
Good but for that, you. Yeah. Right. Good for you. So June of 2020, you've launched yeah. it, and it you have a couple of master's degrees as well, don't you?
Just one. I have a master's of communications and culture.
Okay. Well, congratulations on achieving that as well. And then for a mission so important as this one, how did you, I was going to say, in terms of even, you know, getting down to the rabbit hole of what led you here to begin with, what led you down a path to pursue a career like this?
Well, you know what? I know that we're here talking about Safe Social, but my actual main gig in the day is that I own a company called Skills Camp, which is a soft skills training company. So we partner with companies, schools, organizations from all over the world to build soft skills in their staff and students. And that could be anything from emotional intelligence to stress management, which is by far the most popular this last year and a half, to intergenerational communication, to cross-cultural communication. So that is actually the most of my day. And this is, I suppose, like my side gig. My side nonprofit, just because I think that it has to exist and because I have more knowledge about this than most people in the world. So it was kind of like, well, how can you not do something with this knowledge that you've been privileged to get? Like, that's kind of how I feel about education.
Right. Well, to be able to share it and to start your company as an entrepreneur, I'm a former one, I've started mm-hmm. a few businesses. I know how much energy and love and to support that, or I should say just to get it going. So I wish you, Bailey, an incredible future in your company. And for those of us in the US, because I know you're out of Toronto, do you work with US companies as well and US individuals?
Oh, thank you. Thanks for asking then. Yeah. But yes, I do. So on the skills camp side of things with soft skills training, I'd say, especially since the beginning of 2020, most of our clients are actually out of Canada, where we work with companies from all over the world and especially the US. And then lots of our ambassadors at Safe Social are from the US as well. So I actually just got back Sunday from Los Angeles.
Oh, you did? Good for you. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm here in Arizona. If you're ever in the Phoenix area,
that would be fun.
Yes. Let me know, but congrats on everything. And I will share the link so that those individuals, I know a lot of business owners that ever Amazing. Need, yes, your assistance. You know, it looks like they can work with you as both an individual and as a company. And mm-hmm. there is nothing more important, I don't believe, than teaching soft skills, because it all mm-hmm. starts with us building our confidence and then going out in the world and being our true selves. So, mm-hmm. so thank yeah. you very much. Is there a last word you would want to impart with the audience in terms of, any last words of wisdom?
Well, first off, thank you for having me. The Safe Social website is safesocialmedia.co. And they can find all the resources there to get into this in a much deeper way. So
great. Well, Bailey, your TED Talk moved me so much that I just have a whole new awareness about social media that you thank brought you. To me. So I'm most grateful for you sharing your knowledge. So thank you for coming on the podcast. What a bright light Bailey is in the world. No wonder her TED Talk received over 3 million views. And she was named one of Canada's 100 most powerful women. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast. I would greatly appreciate that. And here is to creating heaven on earth and safe social. Everybody have a wonderful rest of your day.